I'm excited to continue our study on angels, so let's jump right on in. So today I thought I would talk about some of the attributes of angels and even the first time angels are mentioned in the Bible. So that is called the law of first mention. So that means that anytime something's mentioned for the first time in the Bible, it kind of sets precedent. So you look at the law of first mention to kind of interpret other times when that thing that was mentioned in the Bible is repeated again, because the introduction of that kind of sets precedent for everything else. So here's the first time that angels are mentioned in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible says that God drove the man out of the Garden of Eden, and he placed cherubims east of Eden with flaming swords to guard the tree of life. So the very first mention of angels is a cherubim. Now, I mentioned in an earlier video that a cherub is a single angel. A cherubim is more than one, so it's the plural. So it means there were several angels, maybe two or three, with flaming swords, and they were to guard the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. So it's my belief that that became invisible so that we couldn't see it anymore. So I think it's still there. It was on the earth, but it is in a hidden realm so that we can't see it. And that's why the angels are still guarding the tree of life. The Bible says that one of these days we will all eat from the tree of life. So in the book of Revelation, it talks about it more than one time. So the first mention of angels is that the angels was guarding the Garden of Eden once Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden, so that they couldn't go in and eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, the two trees in the garden that God put there for a test. Here's the next time that we see angels visited, and that is in Genesis 16. And this is different from cherubim, because this is called the angel of the Lord. And notice that in Genesis 16:7, that the word angel is capitalized, which you typically don't see. It's usually a lowercase letter. But because it's capitalized, it is referring that it is deity. Because that's the only time we capitalize, you know, a term like that. It's also using the word Lord, which is Yahweh. So it's the angel of Yahweh. And so the interesting thing about this is that when we see that angel of the Lord appear, most scholars believe that it is a Christophany. Some would call it a theophany. So here's the difference. A Christophany is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. A theophany is just referring to God, an appearance of God or deity in the Old Testament. So in essence, it's kind of the same word. And so it's a time where Christ appeared before he became a baby and grew into a man and died on the cross and was resurrected. So it's Christ has always existed, right? So his he can appear in other forms. So in this particular case, it is talking about the angel of the Lord meeting Hagar at the well whenever Abraham and Sarah put her outside the camp. So she and Ishmael were kind of in the wilderness. They had nothing to eat and they had nothing to drink, and they thought they were going to die. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord found them there. Now, I realize that in the English Bible, when we say found, it's almost like they were searching for them, but that's not really what that word means. That word found is the word masa in the Hebrew language, which means to appear. So it just means that the angel of the Lord appeared there. So I think that's interesting to note about angels, that angels can just appear and disappear. You know, when we think about angel travel, I think that we have to think outside the scope of human limitation, where we can, you know, we're solids. We take one step at a time. We can't walk through doors. Well, when Jesus was in his glorified body, he just appeared in rooms and walked through a door. It appeared because when he appeared to the disciples, the Bible says the door was locked, but Jesus appeared in their midst. When Jesus appeared to the two men after the resurrection, the Bible said he sat down. They begged him to spend the night there because it was getting dark. They sat down and broke bread. Then their eyes were open. They realized they were seeing the resurrected Lord. And then he just disappeared. So right in front of them, he just, you know, faded or disappeared. So in spiritual bodies, angels or even Christophanies can appear and disappear. There's a couple of other things I think that we should notice about angels. Even though they have this celestial body and they can do that, they do often appear in human form. One case of this in the Bible, there's many cases, but one case of this in the Bible is in Sodom and Gomorrah. So when God sent the two angels to lead Lot's family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, they took on the appearance of men as to not create a stir. They must have been very handsome men because the Sodomites, you know, in the city wanted to have them physically, sexually. And so they had to lock these men in a room, and because they because the men of the city desired them. And so they didn't have the appearance of an angel. If they would have shown up with a fiery sword or with wings or something like that, obviously these men would have had a completely different reaction. They were there to lead them out. Another thing about that story, and by the way, that story is in Genesis 19. Another thing about that story is that these men ate with them. So in their physical form, it appears as though they had all human function. And because we do see angels cooking, so they have hands and feet, and we see them walking in the Bible. So when they take a human form, by all indications, they look exactly like a human and have, you know, every appearance that a human has in every way, I would imagine. So in this particular case, they ate food with them. And that's not the only time an angel ate food in the Bible. So they have teeth, they have a mouth, they have an esophagus, they have, you know, a stomach. So they had all the human forms. So that is why it's important to understand that angels can take more than one form. And I realize that's a stretch of our imagination because we struggle to think about what celestial beings are like. You know, we think about science fiction celestial beings, you know, outer space people and, you know, little green men and E.T. and, you know, things like that that we've seen on TV. But really, a supernatural celestial being, it doesn't look like that at all. That is what we've imagined because we're trying to create some type of life on other planets. But we're talking about heavenly beings. So we're made in the image of God. So because of that, the angels are very similar in image to us as well. And that's why the Bible talks often about their eyes or their, even the glorified Christ in Revelation, his eyes were like a flaming fire. His feet was like fine brass as they burned in a furnace. And so out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. So even this imagery that we're getting of Christ in his glorified state, he still has body parts that we can easily identify with. A mouth, feet, hands, eyes. His hair was white like wool, as white as snow. All of this is the description there in Revelation. Even he was girded about the paps, meaning his waist, with a golden girdle. So you know, the language there is that he had on the garment of a priest, and that he looked like he was in human form, or at least the part of that we can identify with. Even in his glorified body, you know, he showed his scars to the disciples. You know, it's not a stretch for me to think about angels eating because Jesus ate food after he was resurrected. You know, he was sitting there with those men breaking bread when he disappeared. But not only that, we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is a feast. And, you know, I believe there's lots of food in heaven. You know, we can talk about heaven another time, but I believe that heaven is a real city. So it has shopping, it has, you know, a concert, it has places to go and eat. And so I think that a big part of heaven is, you know, the Bible uses the word for Eden, the Garden of Eden, as pleasure is what the word Eden means. So when God describes many things for our pleasure, which is our physical contact with other people, he describes, you know, sex between and marriage as pleasure. He also describes food as pleasure. You know, Ecclesiastes said there's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink all the days of his life. So he's saying that that is part of the pleasure of life. So why would that not be in heaven? Let's go on with angels a little bit, because I want you to see several other things. Even though they do take these human forms, angels show up with supernatural power. So these men that showed up in Sodom looked like men. They ate food like men, but they were not men. When they left the city, they actually called a judgment down on the city, and it rained fire and brimstone on the city of Sodom to destroy it. So even though they appeared as men, they had authority from heaven. They had supernatural power at the same time. So so what do angels do then? If they have these abilities, what do? Do they just kind of, you know, we get this idea of heaven, they just kind of float around and fly or play harps. You know, we kind of have this limited view of heaven, which I don't see that at all. In my book, Heaven on My Mind, I talk about heaven being a real place. And so I believe that it is. Here are some of the activities of angels that's recorded in the Bible. First of all, angels give reports. So they're on assignment and they come back and they give reports to God. Even 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 talks about angels are great and mighty power, or might and power, but they do not bring accusing revelries or accusations before the Lord against men. And so Satan does do that, but the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. But what angels, they give reports, but they do not bring accusations against men, according to 2 Peter chapter 2. The angel in the Garden of Eden was carrying a sword. The angels in 2 Kings, when Elijah saw them, were riding horses. They looked like an army. God sent an angel in the book of Isaiah to kill 185,000 Assyrians. So, you know, he sent them on an assignment, and the Bible even refers to the angel of death. You know, we talk about the death angel all the time, but this is an angel on assignment to bring death. I don't know if there is a grim reaper, as some people like to think, but there are angels on assignment to bring death. And in this particular case, it was the enemies of Israel, a great army that had come against them. And so this angel was assigned to kill 185,000 soldiers and did that. Michael the archangel is called the defender of Israel, so obviously he is a warrior, and we see him warring in the heavens in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. We see him warring. The Revelation chapter 12 says that war broke out, and Michael and his angels, because remember he's an archangel, so he's over other angels, they fought the dragon. And of course that's a reference to Satan and the governments of this earth that have bowed their knee to Satan, that are anti-God. Sometimes angels are sent to heal the sick. So in John chapter 5, an angel went down and stirred the pool. And if you remember, the lame man couldn't get in because people got in before him. And so Jesus come by and healed the lame man. But there was an angel that came down at a certain time and touched the water and brought healing to the water. And so people would get in and get healed. And so we don't know how many people got in. We don't know if it was just for one person, like first come, first serve. The Bible doesn't really say that. All we know is the lame man wasn't able to get in because he was lame. And he said everybody got in before him. So maybe it was like a particular time, the water started bubbling, I don't know. And we're just guessing really, but maybe the water started stirring, because it's what the Bible says, it stirred the water. So maybe you could see it kind of swirling around, and people would get in, and then it would stop, and then the healing was over. So angels do come sometimes for healing. I believe they go to hospitals. I believe they go to homes. I believe that angels, bring, something the Bible refers to as the balm of Gilead, which is like a healing ointment. So the Bible says that angels cooked for the prophet Elijah. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, there's an angel that comes down and cooks him a meal and says, you need to eat this meal because we're going to go on a long journey. And so the Bible says he sat down and ate and drank the meal, drank the beverage and ate the meal and then went to sleep. And the angel touched him again and said, no, you need to get up and eat again. So he had to get up and eat a second time because he didn't understand at that point that the angel was taking him on a long journey. Angels also comfort people. So angels many times are sent just to be with people and comfort them. I think that's what, you know, the Bible talks about in Psalm 91, the angels of the Lord encamp round about those who fear him and deliver them. So sometimes if you're afraid, angels come to your side. So let me give you an angel story that kind of goes along with that. I met a lady that was in Gallup, New Mexico. Her husband traveled. It was a ministry. They worked among the Southwest American Indians. As her husband was traveling a lot, she lived way out of the reservation in a log cabin. I've actually been to their home, and there are no houses for miles around. I mean, she literally was alone in the middle of this wilderness. And she said that when her husband started going out, she had to stay there alone because they had an office and they had to take phone calls and all of this. And so sometimes he would be gone for a week at a time, and she got afraid. So one night she was just terrified. She said she couldn't get a hold of her husband. He was in a remote area where there was no phone. And she began to shake in the bed and just began to call upon the Lord and ask God to help her. And this is the story she told me. She said all of a sudden, laying in this bed, she looked up, and above her bed was four angels on each post of the bed. This bed had four posts. And they took their wings and they touched in the middle like a canopy. So she said that these angels' wings spread out over the top of her bed and they touched at the top. And the Lord gave her that, opened her eyes and allowed her to see that. She said it lasted for a couple of minutes. And from that point on, she never had fear staying out there by herself. And that was the story that she told me personally, that, you know, that healed her of that fear because she knew she was being protected and the angels of the Lord came to comfort her and strengthen her. So, there's another angel story. So hopefully that's a blessing to you. And we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion about, you know, what angels do, kind of their daily activities. So you don't want to miss that. So I'll see you next time when we talk about angels.